Parsha of Amalek appears in two places, in both Parshas Bishalach at the end of the Parsha and in Parshas Kisetze at the end of the Parsha. The difference is that in Parshas Bishalach, it's more or less a story that the Torah is telling about the command that Hashem sent through Moshe to Yoshua to battle against Amalek, and the Torah describes that battle, whereas Parshas Ki Tetzé gives us the mitzvah as part of Taryag of destroying Amalek. And not only that, it gives us also the mitzvah as part of Taryag of remembering Amalek. So let's go through some of the highlights of Parshas Bishalach and Parshas Ki Tetzé. In the case of Parshas Bishalach, Moshe tells Yoshua, "Bechar lecha lanu anoshim," and we'll have a lot to say about that extra word lanu. Lanu, what's it coming to saying? He could have just said "bechar anoshim," and then it says, "Vitzev hilochem be'amolek." And then the Torah goes on to describe the battle itself and how Moshe, together with the help of Aaron and Hur, was able to raise his hands, his arms, etc. The whole story. At the end of this section, the Torah testifies, "Vayachlosh Yoshua es Amalek," and Yoshua weakened Amalek, clearly indicating that he did not destroy Amalek. And then the Torah adds at the very tippy end of Bishalach 3, Psukim, in which Hashem declares that He, God, will destroy Amalek, Macho Emcha Zechra Amalek. And then the Torah describes that in the aftermath of the battle against Amalek, Moshe sets up a Mizbeach, and then he declares Hashem Nisi. That's how he names this Mizbeach. And again, we're going to focus on each one of these points in just a minute. And finally, in the last Pasuk, there's a case which refers to the throne of God that's written without an Aleph at the end. There's the name of God that's written as Yud K, which is only half of God's name. Ki Yod Al Kes Ka Milchamal Hashem Bamalik Midar Dar. Hashem is battling against Amalek in all generations. There's no tzivui here, other than the tzivui that was given to Yoshua at that moment, for that moment in time. But now we fast forward to the end of Parashas Ki Tetzé, and there the Torah adds the following. Number one, Zachar es Asher Aso, you have a mitzvah of remembering Amalek. Number two, the Torah now gives us a little bit of an insight into the nature of Amalek, Asher Karcha Baderech. And then it says, "Velo yore Elokim." And then finally, we get the mitzvah of Timche es Zechra Amalek, that we are commanded to destroy Amalek, but when, at what point in time? V'haya ba'nichecha Hashem Elokech lecha mikol ayvecha misaviv, when Hashem will allow you to have security, you've already destroyed all the enemies that surround you, then Timche es Zechra Amalek. And in this parsha, in Ki Tetzé, there's no indication that Hashem is battling against Amalek. It's now our job to battle against Amalek. Now, what we want to do at this point is compile a number of questions. I'm not sure exactly how many there are. I think the number reaches five that we want to address today. The first question is, why is it that Hashem has to battle against Amalek? That's a little bit strange. God is the Kol Yachol. He's omnipotent. He could fight and destroy any enemy. What is going on in this ongoing battle? Milchama Hashem ba'Amalek. Why doesn't God just zap them in one split second? And this kasha we're going to see on the bottom of page 2 in a sefer called the Ar Yahel, by one of the great giants of the Musar movement of the last generation, not the early giants of the Musar movement. His name is Rab Lev Chassman, and he was the Mashkiach in Chevron Yeshiva. And at the beginning of this of the second paragraph, again, it's in pretty small print if you can make it out, he says, Mihu zeh Amalek, who is this nation of Amalek? Shashem Yisbarach Lochem Imo, that God declares war against him. Ha'im lo yachol akol yachol akhido beregechad. Is it impossible for God to just completely destroy Amalek in one moment? So that's question number one. It's a very very fundamental one. I want to raise a second question here, which you can find quoted in the name of the Sukhachava Rebbe in an article in a book called Be'ikvei Derech. And the Sukhachava Rebbe wants to know, why is it that in Parshas Kisetze the Torah addresses us in Lashon Yachid, in the grammatical singular? For example, it says, Zachar Eis Asher Asa Lecha Amalek, and then Vahaya Bani Hashem Lekecha Lecha Mikol Aivecha, and it says, Asher Hashem Lekecha Nosein Lecha Nachla. The Torah is consistent, utilizing the Lashon Yachid when we're talking about a mitzvah that is clearly incumbent upon the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. And you would wonder why the language of Lecha is used over and over. That's the question of the Sukhachava, which we hope to come back to in just a few minutes. The third question we want to ask is, what does it mean when it says that God commanded Yoshua in Parshas Beshalach to choose men to go out to this battle? It's very strange if you compare and contrast this situation, the eve of the war against Amalek, with the earlier situation in Jewish history in which the Jews were facing the adversary of Mitzrayim, who were rodfim achrayim. They chased and pursued the Jewish people up to Yam Suf. There, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael in Shmos Yudalid, Hashem Yilachem Lachem V'atem Tacharishun. God says, you do not have to do battle. Hashem says, I will do battle against Mitzrayim, and you don't have to do anything. You're totally silent and passive. So in the case of Amalek, Moshe gets the command from on high, which he passes on to Yoshua. We have to go out and battle against Amalek. Whereas in the case of Mitzrayim, Hashem says, don't even bother. I'm going to destroy your enemies. Vatem tacharishun. And the question that we want to ask is, why didn't Hashem do the same thing that he did to Mitzrayim in the Milchama of Amalek? Why was it critical that the command come to Yoshua that he should choose people to go out to Milchama? Why didn't Hashem just take care of this like he did in the case of Mitzrayim? Now, a number of questions are raised by the Slonimer Rebbe, which I'd like you to see on page 3. And that's the Nesivo Shalom in Parshas Beshalach. I'm going to first summarize a few of the questions and then show it to you inside the text. His first question is, Inyan Mechias Amalek. He wants to understand, what is this concept of destroying Amalek? Shatora HaKdosha Me'ido So Berosh Ukirishon Li'oivim. The Torah seems to designate and single out Amalek as the head adversary of the Jewish people. He's Rishon Li'oivim, as if to say that we have to fight this battle against a formidable enemy. That's the vision we would get with all this hype about gathering the troops and waging war against Amalek. However, on the fifth line from the top, he says, Lo mashma shamolik yotzel mulchama machne gadol b'miyuchad. There's no indication that Amalek constituted a major power with a major army on the face of the earth. Ubechlal lo matzinu shahaisa zu mamlecha gdola. Basically, Amalek You know, ask me on a map, where is Amalek? You know, I can tell you where all the other countries are. I can't tell you where Amalek is, because Amalek is some sort of nomadic tribe that, you know, travels and jumps around. The Isa, he says, the Chazal tell us, Shahaisa Mamlacha Shvela. This was a secondary, low kind of nation. And he says, with all this, you know, hype about let's go out and battle, and it's going to be an ongoing battle, and it's going to take all of eternity till we destroy Amalek. Who is Amalek? I mean, they're a bunch of nomads. And not only that, he supports his argument by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Yoshua, and he says, "Bechar lanu anoshim," and he asks the question by implication, how many people made up the battalion of Yoshua? How many Jews were out there battling? The Torah says lanu anoshim, and Chazal tell us that lanu means anoshim miuchadim hadomim lanu. In other words, Yoshua is being addressed by Moshe. Lanu means people who are similar to us. Who are people similar to us? Tzadikim hadomim lanu, Chazal say. Now, how many tzaddikim? You know, we already know from the Parsha Milchama at the beginning of Parsha Ki Teitzeh, and even earlier in the end of Parsha Shoftim, that many, many Jews who came and showed up for conscription and to fight the battles were sent home. Only those who didn't have any kind of sins, even as small as interrupting between Tefillin Shel Rosh, Tefillin Shel Yad, there were only a couple of tzaddikim left who could reach up to that level, that profile of lanu anoshim. So on the one hand, Amalek doesn't seem to be a very powerful nation. The amount, the force that's sent by Yoshua to go out to battle against Amalek seems to be very, very limited. How are we meant to understand this with all the emphasis and all the drama about how strong and how powerful of an enemy Amalek is? His second question is that the pasuk says Vayachlos Yoshua es Amalek, that Yoshua weakened Amalek. And the question is, it seems that Yoshua and that period of time is premature for destroying Amalek. In fact, the ultimate destruction of Amalek is going to have to wait, as we saw in Parshas Ki Teitzeh, until Biniach Hashem Elokech Elochom Mikol Eivecha Misaviv, until at the end of days we can finally decimate Amalek, when we first, you know, get rid of or defeat all our other enemies. So on the one hand, it's very interesting that Yoshua is being sent out to battle to take Amalek and weaken them, but the actual destruction of Amalek has to wait until, shall we say, the end of time. A very strange kind of historical development. You know, you would think that let Yoshua completely decimate them, why should we be pestered by them? Why should they linger on to attack us throughout the generations? Let's just get rid of them for once and for all. Then the Nesivah Shalom asks another question, which I thought was fascinating. If you remember in Parshas B'Shalach, in the aftermath of the success, the victory against Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu sets up a Mizbeach, and he calls it Hashem Nisi, God and His miracle, the miracle of God. Now, there are many, many miracles that took place, and that really spans the entire period of time from Yitzias Mitzrayim and through the 40 years in the Midbar. You wonder why this incident, this episode of the battle against Amalek is isolated and singled out for this Hashem Nisi. There are miracles galore that are happening here, there, and elsewhere. So we have a list of questions. Again, I didn't calculate, I don't have a scorecard. I would guess it's about 7 questions. And what the Nesivah Shalom, what? Okay, let me just make a quick summary, so make sure we're all on the same page. The first question was why God couldn't destroy Amalek, since God says He's going to do battle against Amalek immediately. Why could He just, you know, completely destroy them? Second question was, why does this parasha in Kiteitze written? Why is it formulated in Lashon Yachid, Lecha? The third question is, why is it that here there's a mitzvah melchama, Yoshua is commanded to go out to battle, in the case of Mitzrayim, Hashem says, I'll take care of it, you don't have to do anything? That's the third question. The fourth question was, it doesn't seem to fit with the background here, with the framework, that Amalek is such a great, mighty, and considerable enemy here, that we have to fight against him, when Amalek seems to be a relatively small, puny kind of nation. And not only that, Yoshua himself only gets together a couple of tzaddikim to go out to battle against him. How do we justify all this presentation about, we're going to have to battle against this great enemy Amalek throughout the generations till we can finally defeat him? That would be question number four, I think, if I'm right. Again, I'm not calculating. The next question that Nesiv HaShalom asks, why is it that in this battle, instead of gathering together the Giborim, the real military greats and the very powerful people, instead, Yoshua is commanded to gather together some tzaddikim? And why is Yoshua commanded to weaken Amalek? Why couldn't he just be commanded to destroy Amalek? The Torah says that the destruction and the decimation of Amalek is going to be withheld until the end of time. And finally, the last question is, why does the battle of Yoshua against Amalek deserve the response of Moshe Hashem Nisi, the declaration that God is my miracle? And what the Nesiv HaShalom wants to do in this long essay here, which you'll see on page 3, is to give one answer that would answer up all these questions. In other words, to put the entire mitzvah and challenge and battle and military battle against the Amalek in a broader perspective. And I just want to say by introduction, and this is my own take on this, that I think he's making a very serious contribution, because to explain Amalek and the mitzvah of destroying Amalek on a moral, ethical level is a great, great challenge. And the reason I say that is because Rashi, at the end of Parshas Ki Tzeitze, tells us, and it's the very last Rashi in Parshas Ki Tzeitze, Rashi says, Timcha ezecha Amalek mi'ish v'ad isha me'olel v'ad yonek mishar v'ad seh. And we know from Chazal that Shmuel commanded Shaul Amel to destroy Amalek, and Shaul fell short of fulfilling this mission because he felt that, how could I destroy the children? Why are newborn babes guilty for the sins of their forefathers that we should morally and ethically go ahead and kill them? But I think what the Nesiv HaShalom is going to do for us, he's not going to ask that question, or shall I say, address that question face on, head on. But I think what he's implying is that we're looking at the parsha of Amalek and its mitzvah from a very limited perspective. We're not seeing the broader picture. It's sort of like if, let's say, you looked at a painting, a great giant painting, but you looked at it with a telescope that or binoculars, but you were only able to see a very small part of the painting. You really don't get the breadth of the totality. And I think he's saying that what we have to do when it comes to Amalek is we have to really admit and confess that we're only seeing a very small piece of the puzzle, and the broader picture and the framework within which we have to understand Amalek and the battle against Amalek, that is something that's absolutely global. That's absolutely fundamental, and it touches on the very essence of what it means to be a Jew, the very essence of God's purpose in creating the world. And it's not just an obligation on the tzibur, on the entire community, to go out and do battle against Amalek, but moreover, and perhaps even more important, it's an individual obligation that each one of us has to face up and have to live up to. And when the Torah says that Hashem Nisi, Moshe declares this is the Nes, Any battle against Amalek in which we can succeed is a great miracle, because Amalek represents the most dangerous and the most undermining factor or agent in the entire world, entire universe. Amalek is the personification, as we'll see in the words of the Rebbe, of the Lo Yare Elokim. You remember that in Dvarim, Parshas Ki Teitze, the Torah gives us a little bit of an insight, a drop of a revelation of who is Amalek. And it describes Amalek as V'lo Yare Elokim. Rashi says, Lo Yare Amalek Elokim Milahar Alecha. Amalek is not afraid to do battle and evil against the Jewish people. He's not afraid of God. But as we'll soon see, it goes way, way beyond that. Amalek represents the personification of the Lo Yare Elokim. Anything that's antithetical to Yiras Elokim in this universe, that is a force of Amalek. And I remember on one occasion, my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik told us why he was not comfortable with reparations from the Germans that were being received, especially by the State of Israel, in massive amounts, and he felt that accepting reparations from the Germans might be a violation of Amalek, because the Torah says when it comes to Amalek, it's total destruction. We're not allowed to have any benefits, Mishar V'Atzer, and to accept reparations from the Germans might be a violation of the mitzvah of Amalek. And when we asked him, but wait a minute, are you telling me the Germans are Amalek? How do we know that they stam from Agog, you know, or from Haman, or from any Amalekim? And he said in the name of his father that in any generation, any nation that stands up and declares, L'chuvan akhide migoy, we want to destroy the Jewish nation, completely decimate them, they are by definition Amalek. And he had a riot from a Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. I won't go into that now because that's not our main topic, but I just want to show you that the concept of Amalek is not really limited to a genetic, physical, biological nation and being. We're talking about something that's much more fundamental and much more all-encompassing than that. It's something that's called by the Torah V'lo Yare Elokim. And for this, I think, even before we see the Nesivos Sholem inside, I want you to take a look again at the Or Yahel of Reb Leiv Chassman on the bottom of page 2. And he says that Chovas Ha'odom hi Levayer Es Hara. The reason why God created us and our fundamental primary obligation in this world is to destroy evil. And he says that is the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Amalek is the personification of evil in this world. And that's why the Torah testifies, Milchama Lashem Ba'amalek Midar Dar. Why is Amalek the adversary of God? He's not just attacking the Jewish people. He is personifying evil, and therefore we have a mitzvah of Bir Hara, and HaKadosh Baruch himself, Kaviyachol, has to be involved in that battle. Ein Hashem Shalom Vein Akisei Shalom Ad Sheyimcha Kol Zecher Amalek. The very throne of God, the very name of God, is incomplete as long as Amalek is in existence. And therefore, if you ask the question in the second paragraph, why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy Amalek in one fell swoop, Berega Echad, says Reb Leiv Chassman, had God done that, had Amalek been decimated immediately at the time of Yoshua, then there would be no Ra left in the world. And he writes, V'haya b'teila kol abchira. The purpose of God's creation was to give man freedom of choice, meaning that there are two forces which are created by God in the universe, and both of them are meant to be there and to exist in this universe, to coexist in this universe until the end of time. And those are the forces of good and the forces of evil. And he gives a very interesting mashal here. He says, imagine the case of a king, And he sets up an artificial battle, like a civil war, so to speak, by splitting his battalions into two and telling them to battle one against the other. And the spectator who sees two different battalions fighting, divisions in the army battling against each other, he mistakenly comes to the conclusion that these represent two different nations. But little does he know that the king set this all up, and that's what it is. When we look at Amalek, we think that this is something that comes from the outside, but really God has created Amalek as the force of evil, and he's divided up the world into these two divisions, these two battalions that are fighting each other. The entire Ratzon of Hashem is to have this battle. And that's why, he says, it was absolutely critical for Amalek to survive the battle against Yoshua, to survive in the battle against Shaul, to survive in the battle against Esther and Mordechai. There's always going to be some vestige of Amalek until the end of time, because otherwise there would be no room for freedom of choice. Nitztaveh ha'adam, he continues, Timcheh seker Amalek. That's the Ratzon of Hashem, that we should fight the battle against Amalek. When it says Macho Emcha, God says in B'shalach, I will fight the battle of Amalek. What it means is that's going to be the Siyata Dishmaya, the support that God will give us in our battle against Amalek. But we have an obligation to battle against Amalek, as formulated by Parshas Ki Teitzeh Timcha as Zecher Amalek. And that battle against Amalek, which we're commanded to engage in, really represents the battle against evil and all the forces of evil. But the question is, how does Amalek appear in this world? Meaning, what form does he take? As Eino Lo Yare Elokim. And here I want you to look at the Medrash Tanchuma, which you'll see on the bottom of your page 1, quoting a pasuk in Mishle. Shlomo Melch says, "Let's take. You should beat up a let's. Ufesi yarom." And it means that we are commanded to destroy the let's. Who is the let's? And the Medrash says, "Let's take zeh Amalek." Amalek is the personification of Leitzanut, of being a letz. And somehow, being a letz is antithetical to Yare Elokim. In other words, when we define Amalek essentially as below Yare Elokim, that expresses itself first and foremost in being a letz. But then the Medrash Tanchuma goes on and gives us another kind of description of Amalek. And he writes that we should imagine the following situation. A father takes his child on his shoulders piggyback, and he goes out into the derech. And guess what? Every time something dangerous comes out there, you know, like let's say it's in a dangerous wilderness and an animal comes out to attack, the father defends and protects his son. And this happens time and time and time again. Then they meet up with a person, and the son turns to this person and he asks him, "Ra'isa es Abba? Have you seen my father? Like, I can't find him." And when the son asks that question, the father gets very insulted. He gets very angry. "Amar lo aviv, eincha yodea heichan ani? What do you tell me? You don't know where I am? I've been defending you and protecting you time and time again. Is hishlicho bi'olav?" The father was so upset with his son, so dismayed, that he chucked him onto the ground. And then uba hakelev v'noshcho, and the kelev comes along and bites the son. Here we have a case in which Klal Yisrael had been protected by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we saw it, of course, in Mitzrayim, the Eser Makos, and Yitzis Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf. There was God supporting them in the Midbar. U'mezuman l'chol tzarcheichem. And then they said, "Ayesh Hashem b'kirbenu?" They asked, "Where is God? Is He within? Is He with us? Is He amidst us?" And Hashem says, "Chayechem shakelev bo v'noshechoschem." Who is the kelev? That's Amalek. Amalek is going to come and attack you. Vatem tzokim elai. And you're going to cry out to me, v'teidun, and then you'll recognize, heichan ani, where I am. In other words, we have here in the Medrash a double comparison. Number one, we compare Amalek to the Letz. Amalek personifies the attribute of Leitzanus. And number two, Amalek is compared to a Kelev, to a dog. Now, what we want to study here is what is the nature of these two, shall we say, descriptions of Amalek. We know that Amalek is velo yorei Elokim. Now we know that Leitz Taka is Amalek. We know that in the Mashal of the Medrash, Amalek is the Kelev. Why? What's this all about? And for that, we want to fast forward to pages 4 and 5, and we want to see the insights of the Rosh Hashiva, the current, contemporary, alive and well, Rav David Cohen, who is Masada Kedushin for my children. And he has a tremendous insight into this milchama against the power of evil of Amalek in all generations. And basing himself on the Maharal Miprag in the Netivot Shalom, in the Netivot Olam. Okay, we'll get back to the Netivot Shalom very shortly, Mirz Hashem, depending upon how much time you have, but we're going to try to fit in as much as we can in the very few minutes that we have. He says that there's a midah called Busha. And if you take a look in the Maharal points out that Busha, which is such a fundamental midah in Klal Yisrael, called Baishanim, Mevi'al Lidei Yira. The opposite of Yira is what's called Azut. Azut means gall or chutzpah. Chazal tell us, based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu Anavi, that a kelev represents, the dog represents Azut. The midah, the attribute of a kelev, is Azut. Okay, and it's described on page 2 by the Gemara in Masechta Beitza. You'll see it in the third source on your page 2. Amrei Shlokish Gibel Azim Heim. There are three who personify Azus. Amongst the animals, it's the Kelev. And this is all derived from a pasuk in Yeshayo Anavi. Yeshayo compares the midah of Azus to the Kelev, or the Kelev to the midah of Azus. Azus is the opposite of Busha. The Ramchal in his Mesilas Yesharim, which also you'll see here on page 2, on the top of your page, he speaks about the midah of Leitzanus. Leitzanus means when there's something serious going on and somebody comes along and makes fun of it. He's cynical about it. It's like taking a balloon and puncturing the balloon. He creates a kind of schok and lag. That's called Leitzanus. That is the opposite of Yirei Elokim. Yiras Hashem requires an awesome, serious fear of Almighty God. And comes along the Letz, and he says, you know what? There's no point to this exercise. There's no reason why you have to be afraid. Nothing's going to happen to you. You know the famous story about somebody tells the this frum woman that, you know, that go ahead and be Machal Shabbos. Nothing will happen to you. You know, because she was brought up to believe that if she violates the Shabbos, you know, lightning is going to strike her. So that's what Leitzanus is all about. Leitzanus is the opposite of Yiras Elokim. And Azus is the opposite of Busha, and Busha is the key attribute that could lead to Yirei Elokim. And that's why when the Ramchal in his Mesilas Yesharim tells us about the danger of Leitzanus, why is Leitzanus such a negative, dangerous midah? He says because with one Leitzanus, you could be doche, you could undermine the koch of all of his odorous, of all of his pilus, when a person wants to, you know, do tshuva, and he's aroused by some spiritual awakening, and all that can be blown away immediately with one midah of Leitzanus. It's the koach, says the Ramchal, ha-hores es kol in yonei musar v'yira. This is what Amalek represents in this world. They are the personification of evil in two different ways. Number one, in terms of the midah of leitzanus, to undermine anything serious, any awe-inspiring, awe-stricken yira. And number two, the midah of azus, of chutzpah, of being brazen and bold, someone who thinks only of himself as the greatest, and they don't have any room for any kind of busha, any kind of hachna, any kind of yira. That's Amalek. And that's why, again, coming back to the Tanchuma that we started with, the comparison of Amalek is to that of a letz. And why letz taka? You remember that Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim. The word spread like wildfire that they had experienced all the miracles of Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. No nation had the chutzpah. They were awestruck in all the nations of the world. Chil, Achaz, Yoshvei, Ploshes. But Amalek comes forward. In the Moshel of the Medrash, it's a hot bath. It's scalding. No one has the audacity to go ahead. I'm sorry, to attack Klal Yisrael, and yet it's Amalek that jumps into this hot cauldron. They don't care. They represent leitzanus. They are going to be mavaza, that awe of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael represent kedusha. And the worst thing that's antithetical to Kedusha is Bizui Kedusha. That's what Leitzonis is all about. Bizui Kedusha. And before we go back to the Netivot Shalom of the Slonim, I just want to point out to you that of all the Midos Mushchasos of Amalek, that they're not Yirei Elokim, and they come from the Koch of Leitzonis and Azus, they fight an ongoing battle against the Nefesh HaAdam. We're beginning to understand why the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolek is an individual mitzvah. Because the Melchama of HaMolek is not always external, it's also internal. There's the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa within us. And the Yetzer HaRa within us represents the HaMolek within us, the Leitzanus and the Azus that's within us. And in the Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Raditshava famously writes, and you'll see this on page 2, it's the next to the last source on your page, and there he writes that Hine lozu bilvad dezaro dezer Yisrael hemetzuvim amalchias malal kol ish mi Yisrael tzarch limchos chelek hara hamechuna b'shem amalek asher tamud belivo. Every single individual Jew has to fight that battle against the Amalek that's hidden within his heart. The kol zman dezer Amalek nimtza ba'olam, the fact that there is Amalek in the world, that is only indicative of the fact that there's Ra, there's a Koch HaRa in the world, but that Koch HaRa penetrates into every single Nefesh. Is Kevan the Adam Gamkenu Olam Katan, just like there's Amalek in the greater globe, in the world, the earth, there's also in man, insofar as man is a microcosm of the world, and there's a Metzius of Amalek inside our each and every one of us, every individual heart. That's Koch HaRa b'chol Adam, who misorer b'chol pam lahachti es ha'adam. But I think perhaps that all this comes to its pinnacle in the explanation of the Netivot Shalom. And if you'll take a look in the Slonim Rebbe's essay here on Melchemes Amalek, I would like to point out a few, sort of highlight a few things. We've seen all his questions. Why is it that the battle that's fought by Yoshua is a bunch of tzaddikim?
He was told to destroy Amalek, and he would have done it, and that would have been a force of evil. That would have been wiped out, according to this pshat.
Yeah, for sure. In other words, as we'll soon see, which I want to start with you, but again, we're pressed for time, the Netivot Shalom is going to claim that at every point in Jewish history, when it seems that we, the Jewish people, are winning the battle against our adversaries and against the forces of evil, that's when Amalek comes to attack us. They know and they sense exactly when they're losing the battle, so to speak, in the overall assets and deficits column. They realize that Klal Yisrael is really doing great. That's when they're going to attack us. And that's when we have to be careful and we have to sharpen our knives to go out and battle against Amalek. So Shaul HaMelech is called upon to attack Agag, because Agag, to destroy Agag, because Agag realizes that now we're in a new historical period. Malchus B'Yisrael. Until now, Bnei Yisrael were a group of a nomadic tribe that left Mitzrayim, little shvatim, little families. All of a sudden, they appoint a king. Who's the first king of Israel? Shaul. And Shaul is a great king, right? He's a great man. The chances are that he is going to uplift Klal Yisrael. And now, Agog and Amalek have to attack the people of Israel. The problem is that in the battle against Amalek, there are two things going on. Number one is we have to fight a physical war against Amalek and destroy them, and then we can finally achieve our goal of Tov in this world. Once the physical battle has been won and Amalek is decimated from the world as a physical entity, now we can march onward to establish the world as it should be, as a world predicated on Tov. Amalek, as a physical entity, the subject of the battle, the physical military battle against Amalek, which Shaul HaMelech is called upon to fight, Shaul HaMelech in the physical realm, loses sight of the significance of this mitzvah and its deeper meaning. He's looking at it as a military battle, and he wants to understand, why should we have to, what justifies that destruction of Shar V'Yatzeh, the Katan V'Yad Yonek? You know, maybe the Gdolim Chatu, but Ketanim Ay Chatu. So he has this moral, ethical dilemma. And what happens is there are people in the nation who are sympathetic, and they somehow are able to influence Shaul HaMelech that he should calm down and not destroy Amalek, have compassion on Amalek, at least for the children. And somehow they successfully impacted on Shaul, and that's where he lost his malchus. He fell short of what a leader is meant to be. You know, a leader is meant to overcome all these influences. Shaul should have understood that he was given a tzivri, and there's a reason for this divine command. And what's at stake is way, way beyond. I think that's right to say way beyond. You know, the human understanding of this battle against Ke'ilu, another enemy. This is the enemy of God. This is going to be a supernatural battle. This is a battle against evil. And that's what Shaul did not perceive. On the other hand, if we turn back the clock to Yoshua, before Shaul, at the time of the Arba'im Shana B'Midbar, there, Yoshua understands that he has to weaken Amalek, as we saw in the Olyag, that not to destroy Amalek, because that would completely undermine our Bechira. We have to have some evil in the world until the end of days. And who does Yoshua take to battle with him? He takes the Tzaddikim. And what is Moshe Rabbeinu going to declare in the aftermath of that victory against Amalek? Hashem Nisi. Why? But the answer is because this is the most important battle of all battles. There are many wars that we have to wage against our enemies, and there are many enemies and adversaries, but nothing pales compared to the battle against Amalek, because everything is at stake in Amalek. And that's why Yoshua is Machlish Amalek. That's the Nisi. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to sing the miracle of God. This is the miracle of God, that God is helping us with Siyata Deshmaya to destroy evil. And that's our goal, that's our responsibility. But getting back for a moment to the Slonima and looking inside, he says the following. This is in the bottom, in the bottom right column, the last paragraph on the right side. He says, Ha'inyon shel melchemes ha'molek lo ha'isa melchama ga'. It's not just a physical battle. Lo matzinu klal ba'torah. We don't find anywhere where the Torah calculates how much from the enemy did we kill, but rather this milchama is primarily a ruchani milchama, milchama ruchanit al Hashem. They're battling against God, el Mashicho, litamius klal Yisrael, to make klal Yisrael into insignificant, no awe or reverence for klal Yisrael. These are leitzanim. The ikar mataras atol amolek oiso limnoa es tikun hagomur shayiroy lios oz. Now here we have to introduce a little bit of a Hasidic concept. After all, we're studying the Slonim Rebbe, and that is tikkun. The world was created for us to do a tikkun on the world, to rectify and perfect the world. And this is what Amalek stands. This is Amalek's blockage of any tikkun. At the time in which Yeshua was about to lead the people of Israel into the land, that was the right moment for tikkun. And at that point, tikkun was feasible, was within reach. That's when Amalek is going to attack. Who is Yeshua going to take to battle against Amalek? The Amalek that personifies anti-tikkun to undermine God's will in this universe. He's going to take Lanu, Domim Lanu, Tzadikim. They are fit, and only they, to fight the battle against Amalek insofar as Amalek personifies evil. It's Amalek as the enemy of Kaviyochel himself. And the tachlis of the Bria is to create this tikkun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world in order that we could be metaking this world. That's the derech of the Tova Lahativ. If we are metaking this world, God will bestow upon us all the blessings and all the benefits. And what stops the world from creating this wonderful tikkun? If the purpose and the objective of God's creation is tikkun, why can't we achieve tikkun? And the answer is because of Amalek. We're waiting for the moment of Umola Aretz Deyas Hashem, but until that moment comes along, we're living in a reality with Amalek. He writes, again, these are Hasidic concepts that I can't help you with. He says, Amalek hu shoresh klipas hasitra akra, l'tameis klal Yisrael, l'mnoas tikkun agomu. So where is the personification of evil, which is called the Sitra Achra, which is called the Klipa, Klipas Tuma, to be Metami Klal Yisrael? That is Amalek. Amalek is the Shoresh, is the real root of all evil, of the Klipa, of the Sitra Achra, to destroy Klal Yisrael spiritually, to, instead of purifying Klal, letting Klal Yisrael purify themselves, to be Metami them, to contaminate them. And therefore, Ein Hashem Sholem, Ein Hakisei Sholem, Ad Sheyim Chazaro Shel Amalek. The name of God, His dominion over the world, His recognition as Tov, that's called Kisei, that's called the throne of Hashem. It's incomplete because the Zaro Shel Amalek, they are reigning, and as we see in the world, and pick up any newspaper on any day, and you'll see, they are supreme. They are the ISIS, they are the destructions, they are the terrorists. These are the individuals, and don't be fooled by any sort of propaganda. These are the Amalekim that want to undermine the tikkun of the Bria. No tikkun in this Bria. We have no room for tikkun. That's the late sonus of Amalek, and that's the Azus of Amalek. When Klal Yisrael go out to Mitzrayim, go out of Mitzrayim at the Exodus, that Geula of Mitzrayim, that is the right moment for Olam HaTikun. So Amalek comes and goes and does, wages war against Klal Yisrael. A similar thing is going to happen at the time of Shaul HaMelech with the first king of Israel, and then it's going to happen at the time of the establishment of the first Beis HaMikdash, and finally at the time of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Again, our enemies have an uncanny sense to intuit and understand and decide when is the right moment for them to attack Klal Yisrael, to undermine what seems to be atat, almost a complete victory and a tikkun gomer of this world, this universe of God. That's when Amalek comes, the Klipa, the Sitra Akra. They want to overcome any kind of possibility of creating this Olam HaTikun. And therefore, when Klal Yisrael is about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, that's when Amalek is going to attack. And the Zohar tells us that that's what happened with Agag at the time of Shaul. It was right before the building of Bayis Rishon. That Bayis was meant to establish God's kingdom and kingship on the face of the earth, the Tikkun Gomur. That's when Nisgabra Klipas Amalek. That's when Amalek's Klipa, the Sitra Achra, became very powerful. Again, at the time of Haman, which is at the time of Ezra Nehemiah, the time of Binyan Bayis Sheni, during the 70-year period between the destruction of the first and the rebuilding of the second. That's the moment ripe for Tikkun. Klal Yisrael on the threshold of establishing the second Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash of Tikkun Gomor. That's when Amalek is going to stand up and declare Laharog, Lahashmid, Labed, is called Yehudim. That's when Amalek has to destroy the Jewish people to undermine and forestall their Tikkun Gomor. That's when the Klipas Amalek is Miskaberes. and liyasid lavo, when it's time for the Bayis Shlishi, once again the Jewish people are going to be commanded to destroy Amalek, which means to allow us the Tikkun Gomer Mirtzah Hashem, the final Tikkun Gomer at the time of Binyan Bayis Shlishi. And the Rebbe goes on to tell us here in the Tivot Shalom that this obligation is not just incumbent upon the Tzibur to fight Amalek, but Kol Yehudi B'Pratus. Every single Jew should understand that when he gets to a high, a spiritual high, calls it Zmanim Gvoim Shalom, when he's on a high, he's up. That's when there's the greatest fear and danger of falling, because Amalek is lurking in the shadows as the Klipa, as the Sitra Achra, to prevent us from reaching that high Olam HaTikun, that, you know, that very, very lofty level. You know, it's Yaakov Avinu sees the Malachim going up the ladder. We're up on the top of the ladder. That's when you should be most fearful of Amalek. That's when Amalek attacks the Jew. And again, we're not only talking about the Jew as a nation, but every single individual Jew. And we have to know that Ein Yisrael Yecholim Lachnia Uvelishbar B'Kochas Atzmon Chazal Seil Moli HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Eino Yochalo. We need the Ezer Hashem, the Siat Tishmaino, to be misgabra on this Klipa. The Klipa is powerful and a very formidable adversary. And that's why Melchama Hashem Ba'amolik Midar Dar. Every generation, Hashem, we need your Siyata Dishmaya. God promises that He will grant us Siyata Dishmaya. And if I echlosh Yoshua Sambolik Vesambol Fichar, if that was Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was from the hand of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Harages HaGiborim, God killed the powerful, mighty ones of Amalek. V'yas HaChelik HaRi Shal Klipas Amalek Hishir Li Yisrael Es HaVodu Limchos Es. Zeu Omro Milchamol Hashem Ba'amolik Midor Dor V'yachlosh Yoshua Samolik V'samol V'chorev. How was it that Yoshua was able to weaken Amalek? That's Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That has to do, as the Pasuk says there in that context in Bishalach, it's Hashem who's waging war against Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Haragas Giborim. This is a tremendous miracle. The mighty ones of Amalek were killed not by Yoshua in the physical sense. They were destroyed miraculously, supernaturally by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Es chelik harishal klipas Amalek. And the most powerful elements of klipas Amalek as the threat of evil in the world, those were taken down and destroyed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But v'hishir liYisrael, He left for the people of Israel havoda, to finish the job that Hashem Himself began, limchos es achaloshim. What we're left with in Amalek, believe it or not, is the weaker ones. The real powerful giborim were taken down by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now God says, Yisrael, you are capable, yecholim lasos es chelkom, but again, you're going to always need the siyata dishmaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in any generation, if we want to fight against Amalek, and, you know, we can't fight against the giborim, because for that we must rely on Hashem. So if Hashem is not with us, forget it. We don't have a shot. So when Moshe Rabbeinu builds this Mizbeach and he declares Hashem Nisi, what he's saying is that if not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking down the giborim, then Yoshua would not have had any success. Ahoya baniach Hashem Elokecha mikol ayvecha saviv, meaning b'shosh yudi kvar tiken es kol inyonah. Finally, when we achieve that tikkun, and now we're about to achieve the gmar tikkun, at that point, timcha zecher Amalek. And that's what it means, b'lchamal Hashem b'amalek midor dor. Hashem is always there to help us in the battle against this power of evil, this personification of klipa and sitra achra. And ultimately, HaYehudi, he writes, Shover Moches Klipas Amalek HaPratis Shalo. Each Jew is called upon to destroy and undermine the Klipas Amalek in an individual way that's inside him. Okir Mikirbo, he removes from within him that Koch HaRav HaMolek Al Yedezem is Karev. And then Ubaim Limchos is Klipas Amalek HaKlolis. Then on a general, you know, universal or communal way, we will all, as a nation, destroy Amalek, and the source of evil in this created world will be completely destroyed, and the tachlis of the Bria will be achieved, the Tikkun Gomer. We should be zochet to see this speedily in our times. Ken Yiratzon. Amen.